Say, it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Swift, All Sweet Margarine invites you to meet the meat. It's supper time in the little white house with the green shutters, but Peggy, the dog of the household, doesn't seem too interested in food.
Peggy! Hey,
Peggy!
Peggy, dear!
Yes, Mother? Yes, Daddy?
Your dinner's getting cold.
But I'm much too excited to eat anything and much too busy.
Excited? What are you talking about?
Look, Father, you're a man.
Ah, you hear that, Agatha?
I hear.
Well, then treat me with a little respect, here, Agatha.
No, Daddy, what I mean is you know about politics and things like that. So I'd like to have your opinion of these slogans.
Eh?
Listen. Get up with Harbinger.
Yes, with Harbinger.
Carol Harbinger, Father. And here's another one. A Harvest Year with Harbinger.
Peggy, what is this all about?
Well, they're campaign slogans, Mother.
Yeah, what?
Harold is running for president.
For president?
Isn't he running a little late, Peggy? We just elected a president.
Oh, I don't mean president of the United States, Mother. President of our class at Civic Center High.
Oh.
But, Peggy, I thought Jill Donovan was class president.
Well, she is, Mother. But her term of office is expiring and she isn't going to run again.
Oh, so Harold is going to run instead.
Uh-huh. Only don't mention it to anyone. It's a secret.
A secret?
Well, how can anyone vote for him if it's a secret?
Oh, no, Daddy. It'll only be a secret for 3 or 4 days. We're keeping Harold under wraps until we see who the opposition is going to be.
Uh-huh. You think Harold can be elected?
Of course he can. I'm organizing all the girls' clubs at school to get behind him. The sewing club, the cooking club, the book club, the home economics club, and the club club.
The club club?
What in heaven's name is the club club?
Well, that's the club for club members. If you belong to some other club, you're eligible to belong to the club club.
My dear.
Well, I've got to get over to Harold's house and help him plan his campaign. Bye, Mother. Bye, Daddy.
Yeah, try to be home early, Peggy.
I will.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, my. Isn't it wonderful how serious young people become over unimportant things like school elections?
Yes. In my day, there was nothing more important than the election of a class president. I know. I ran.
I remember.
I thought March with Meek was the best slogan since Tippecanoe and Tyler, too.
It was.
We thought the outcome would affect our whole life.
It did.
I lost the election.
You won me.
Yes. And believe me, Agatha, that's better than being President of the United States.
Oh, there's someone at the front door. You answer while I clear away the table, will you, darling?
Yes, all right, dear. March with me. March with me. Still sounds good.
Good evening, Mr. Meek.
Well, hello there, Beanie.
Who is it, Mortimer?
It's little Beanie Barker, Walter Barker's little nephew.
I am not Uncle Walter's little nephew, Mr. Meek, and I'll thank you not to refer to me as such.
Well, all right, Beanie. Anything you say. Did you want to see Peggy?
I'm calling on you, Mr. Meek, at Uncle Walter's suggestion.
Hey, Uncle Walter?
Yes. He suggested that I come over and lay my cards right on the table.
Yeah, well, you have to hold them until Mrs. Meek clears away the dinner dishes, but come on in.
Mr. Meek, when will it be possible for you and me to have a man-to-man talk?
Well, from the looks of you, Beanie, I'd say in about 10 years.
Don't try to be amusing.
Don't try to be... What do you want a man-to-man talk about, Beanie?
Just this, Mr. Meek. I have it from an authoritative source that Civic Center High needs a man like me for class president.
Really? Well, who is this authoritative source?
Me.
Oh.
And my Uncle Walter shares my opinion. Therefore, he suggested that Margaret, your daughter, would like to work on behalf of my election.
I don't think so, Beanie.
With Margaret's support, there'd be no question but that I'd be elected president of the class.
I don't think so, Beanie.
Why not? She's a very popular girl. A member of the sewing club, the cooking club, the home economic club, the book club, and...
the club club.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm pretty sure Peggy won't support you, though, Beanie, because just a few moments ago...
My Uncle Walter thinks she will.
What?
In fact... he suggested to me that I suggest to you that you suggest to Margaret that she had better support me. Or else.
Or else?
That's what I said. Or else.
Yeah.
And Uncle Walter suggested that you'd know what that means. Or do I have to spell it out?
No, you certainly do not. When your Uncle Walter tells me to do a thing, or else. The or else part is spelled F-I-R-E-D.
You know, a name doesn't have to be long and highfalutin to be descriptive and to the point. Why, in 8 simple letters, America's best-liked margarine describes itself to a T. Yes, ma'am, All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, is truly all sweet. Sweet and savory all the way through. What's more, the smooth goodness and marvelous flavor of All Sweet margarine is as reliable as Old Faithful. Now, this means that every delicious bit of All Sweet is made with quality vegetable oils and freshly cultured pasteurized skim milk from America's richest farmland. And it means, too, that every pound of satin smooth All Sweet is fortified with at least 15,000 units of essential vitamin A. Now, with all these plus values, All Sweet certainly sounds like a luxury item, doesn't it? But economical All Sweet is priced to please your budget. So, for luxurious flavor and a wealth of nutrition the money-saving way, spread your bread and do your cooking and baking with All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Oh, golly, what a jam. I suppose I could get Harold to withdraw from the election.
You will do nothing of the sort, Peggy.
But, Daddy, I don't want you to lose your job.
Peggy, do you think Harold is the best man for the presidency of your class?
Yes, I do.
Well, do you want Beanie Barker to be class president?
No, I don't.
Do you want to betray the confidence of the hundreds of voters who are depending on you?
No, Daddy.
Well, then don't you dare to even think of asking Harold to withdraw.
Daddy's right, Peggy. We can't let Walter Barker and that snippy little nephew of his intimidate you into trying to get Harold to withdraw from the election.
No.
Why, if you did that, you'd be un-American.
And if I don't do it, Father'll be unemployed.
We're rather unemployed and unprincipled. No, you cannot betray the voters who are depending on you.
Daddy.
This is no time for defeatists.
Daddy.
What our country needs is people with get up and go.
Daddy.
Yes, dear?
I have to get up and go. I'm late for school.
Yes, yeah, no, go ahead, Peggy. And don't give this another thought.
All right, Mother. Goodbye, Daddy. Oh, gee, I sure hope it works out all right.
Don't worry, dear. It will. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Hope it does. I hope you won't get in trouble with Mr. Barker.
Well, Agatha, you know, sometimes I don't understand you. A minute ago, you were laughing and telling her not to worry.
Mortimer, darling, I couldn't let her carry on with her election plan and feel guilty about it.
Oh.
You see, I have my principles, too, but I don't always make a speech about them.
Well, just... Wait a minute, Agatha. Wait a minute. I've got an idea.
Hmm? What is it?
Well, in my high school days, when a problem like this came up, I always used to turn to a certain teacher who would be very helpful. I remember he was the head of the school activities committee. Now, maybe
the present head of the school activities committee would help in this case.
Exactly. What do you think, Agatha?
I think it's a wonderful idea, Mortimer. Mortimer, where are you going?
Well, when I make up my mind, I snap like a trap. I'm off to school, Agatha. Do you want to carry my books? Dr. Furmish, as head of the school activities committee, and as my personal friend, won't you please advise me on what to do?
Well, Mr. Meek, as head of the school activities committee, I can only advise you not to interfere with school activities.
You mean let Peggy support Harold's campaign for the presidency?
That is right.
Just ignore Beanie Barker?
And Walter Barker.
And lose my job?
And get another one?
Not in this town.
In another town.
And leave Civic Center?
That is right.
And separate Peggy and Harold?
I'm afraid you'll have to.
It'll break her heart.
Poor girl.
Is that your final advice, Dr. Furmish?
As head of the school activities committee, it is.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Furmish. If I can pick up a covered wagon somewhere, my family and I will be off in the morning. Pioneers of principle. Bye.
Just a moment, Mr. Meek. As your personal friend, I cannot let you do this.
Huh? Would you just...
As head of the school activities committee, I cannot help you. But as your personal friend, I can tell you that there is one girl in this school who carries more votes than Harold Harbinger, Beanie Barker, and your daughter Peggy put together.
Well, who is that?
Jill Donovan.
Huh? Well, why is she so popular, Doctor?
She's a joiner, Mr. Meek. A member of the sewing club, the cooking club, the book club, the home economics club.
And the club. Yes.
And is at this very moment organizing a club for the past presidents of the club to be known as the club.
The club.
Yes. Every member is entitled to 3 votes.
Well, my gracious.
Indeed, Jill Donovan is so popular that neither Harold Harbinger nor Beanie Barker would dare run against her. They would both withdraw, and that would solve your problem.
Well, Dr. Furmish had a marvelous idea.
Do you really think so?
Yes, don't you?
No.
Oh.
No, you cannot persuade Jill to run for re-election. No one can. I've tried.
Well, why won't she?
Because she would have to drop her work on the school newspaper in 3 or 4 clubs. She does not choose to run.
Yeah, well, now, look, Dr. Kermit, that line may have kept Calvin Coolidge out of the race, but it is not going to save Jill Donovan. I am going to talk her into it.
Pressure politics, eh? That's right, Dr. Kermit. Well, you'd better try a new brand of tactics, because I've tried everything I know.
Yeah,
Jill is in the next room working on the school newspaper. Wait here. I'll send her right here.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Kermit. You know, I think you're a really swell guy.
You do?
Yes.
What a coincidence. I think the same thing. Goodbye.
Good luck. Now, let me see. How I go about persuading Jill. A new tactic, huh? Appeal to her manhood. Womanhood. No. Oh, I got it. I'll flatter her. That's it. I'll flatter her.
Hiya, Mr. Meek.
Well, hello, Jilly.
Dr. Kermit said you wanted to see me. What's cooking?
Well, as a matter of fact, Jill, I've come to speak to you about the election of class president. I think parents should take an interest in the school life of their children, don't you?
Well, parents have to have something to do, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I believe that parents should see that the best possible student is elected president of their children's class. And I know just the girl for the job.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm. She has all the qualifications for class president. Modesty, experience, dignity, poise, and beauty.
Look, Mr. Meek, Hedy Lamarr doesn't attend Civic Center High.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about Hedy Lamarr, Jill. I am talking about the most popular girl at Civic Center High.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah, well, we needn't mention names, Jill, if modesty forbids. But I think you know who I mean.
Yes, I think I do.
Yeah, people have been trying to get this certain girl to run for class president, but she won't.
Oh, now I know who you mean.
Yeah, of course you do. This certain girl keeps saying that she's too busy to run.
Well, that's understandable, isn't it? Being class president is a full-time job.
Yes, but by sacrificing herself, this certain person could make a lot of people happy, including me.
Including you?
Yes, indeed. In fact, Jill, if this girl would run for president, it would make me the happiest man alive. Now, you'd like to see me happy, wouldn't you, Jill?
Yes, sir.
And alive?
Oh, yes, Mr. Meek.
Well, then, what about it? Do you think we can persuade this certain party to run?
Golly, Mr. Meek, I think we can.
Well, dear, don't you know we can?
Yes, Mr. Meek, I know we can.
Good. Let's shake hands on that.
Oh, no. No, Mr. Meek.
You mean you won't give me your word?
Oh, sure, I'll give you my word, but not my hand.
Why?
I've been eating a taffy apple.
Yes, Agatha, I'm a great little fixer-upper. When Jill announces that she's in the election race, Harold and Beanie will both withdraw, and I will not have a worry in the world.
But Mortimer, are you sure she's going to run?
Well, if I know anything about the psychology of the adolescent, she is probably in the school newspaper office right now, typing the headline.
That's a headline if I've ever seen one.
Good afternoon, Jill.
Well, if it isn't Beanie Barker, the scourge of Civic Center High. What can I do for you? Nothing pleasant, I hope.
Very amusing. Your humor slays me.
I wish it would.
I have brought in an announcement for the paper. It is probably one of the most important announcements in the history of Civic Center High.
Yeah?
It will be hailed as great news by members of the junior class.
You mean you're quitting school?
I mean I'm announcing my candidacy for class president.
What?
You heard me.
You? Ready for class president? Why is that a laugh? You don't have a chance.
On the contrary, I think I stand an excellent chance. I have reason to believe one of the most popular girls in school will support my candidacy.
Yeah?
Who? Margaret Meek.
Peggy! Are you crazy? Peggy isn't going to support you.
Then who is she going to bet?
Herself.
But she isn't running for class president.
Oh, yes, she is. Her father told me.
Her father told you that she was running for class president?
Now, I've just written a story for the paper about it.
I don't believe it.
Listen, Dean, I've been trying to get Peggy to run for a long time, and she's turned me down. But not half an hour ago, her father came in and practically forced me to announce her candidacy.
Are you sure?
His meaning was clear.
I've been double-crossed.
Looks like. And on you, it looks good.
Yes, indeedy, Agatha. Anytime you have any little problems to solve, just call on me.
I'll remember that, Martin. The door, dear.
Yes, I'll get it, Agatha.
Hello, Mr. Meek.
Oh, hello.
What have you got to say for yourself?
Yes, hello.
You must have something more than that to say.
Just one more thing.
Then say it.
Goodbye.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm calling on you at my Uncle Walter's suggestion. Is it true, Mr. Meek, that your daughter's running for class president?
No, Beanie, it is not.
No? Then why did Jill Donovan put it in a headline in the school paper?
I don't know. Why did she?
Because you went to school today and told her so. That's why.
Oh, no, I didn't.
She said you practically forced it and her Peggy in the race.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, Beanie, she must have misunderstood
me. It's my duty to warn you that everything you say will be used against you, Mr. Meek. So let me remind you that my Uncle Walter suggested that if it is true, I should tell you that...
That he's going to fire me, I know.
Not immediately. That comes after.
After what?
After he's punched you in the nose, blacked your eyes, and knocked your teeth out.
Agatha, did you hear that?
Yes, Mortimer, I heard the whole thing. Well?
Well, Mr. Meek?
Yeah, I'm certainly a good fixer-upper, aren't I? Just imagine the jam we'd be in if I weren't.
Say, do you like classical music or jazz? Modern art or the works of the old masters? Historical novels or love stories? Well, no matter what your answers are, no matter how your taste runs, I'll bet my bottom dollar you'll go for this tempting treat in a big way. Whip up your favorite recipe for tea biscuits, substituting orange juice for part of the liquid. Needless to say, those biscuits are bound to taste super good if you make them with creamy, smooth, all-sweet margarine. And all-sweet's so wonderfully economical that this whole marvelous venture will really cost you very little. Now, time the baking of these deliciously different biscuits so they're fresh out of the oven just as the family's sitting down to supper. Then serve them piping hot with plenty of golden all-sweet melting into them. Say, you couldn't get a bigger ovation if you brought home the Queen Mary all tied up with a big red bow than you will when you serve your folks these luscious orange-flavored biscuits. Their goodness doubled by the savory goodness of all sweets. You see, food just naturally tastes extra good when you complement it with all sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Now, Beanie, before you go back and tell your Uncle Walter anything, listen to me.
Very well, I'll listen, but I won't promise to believe you.
Well, what happened was this. I went to see Jill Donovan to...
Father, are you responsible for this story in the school newspaper?
He most certainly is, Margaret.
Beanie Barker, what are you doing here?
Peggy, listen, I...
Father, Jill says you told her I wanted to run for class president.
Well, I didn't tell her any such thing, Peggy. Jill misunderstood.
Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw this paper. What will Harold say? He'll think he's been double-crossed.
I know I've been double-crossed.
It's all a mistake, Peggy.
It certainly is a mistake, and I'm going to tell everyone so, too.
You mean you're going to repudiate the announcement?
I'm not only going to repudiate it, I'm going to say it isn't true.
Well, in that case, we can talk.
Don't worry, I'll answer it. Thank gracious, every time I open my mouth, I put Mr. Barker's foot in it.
Hello, Mr. Meek. Is Peggy here?
Oh, yes, Harold. She's here.
Well, I've got a couple of questions to ask that woman.
Well, you go ahead, Harold,
and ask. I'm going out for a breath of air.
Harold, is that you?
Stay here, Peggy Meek. What's the idea of talking me into running for class president and then deciding to run for the office yourself?
Harold, listen.
What are you trying to do, make a fool of me?
Of course she isn't, Harold. Margaret wouldn't try to improve on Mother Nature, would you, Margaret?
You shut up, Beanie Barker.
What are you doing here, worm?
None of your business.
One more crack like that last
time. Harold, listen. I'm not running for class president.
Then why does this story in the paper say that you are?
That's a mistake. My father said something that Jill misunderstood.
Peggy, is that the truth?
Of course it's the truth. Margaret isn't running for president. She's going to repudiate that announcement.
Oh, gee, Peg, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
And you know why Margaret isn't running for class president, Harold?
What do you mean? Do I know why?
Margaret isn't running for class president because she's supporting me.
Supporting you?
Don't listen to him, Harold.
Peggy, is what he says true?
Of course it is. Isn't it, Margaret?
Why?
Or perhaps you didn't hear what my Uncle Walter has in mind for your father.
What are you talking about?
Beanie Barker, I think you're the most hateful man I've ever known.
Peggy, you haven't answered my question. Are you going to...
I don't know what to say.
Peggy, are you going to let this drip blackmail you?
Mr. Class President, my father would be looking for a new job.
That's right, Harold.
Well, if that's the way we're going to play, let me tell you something, Peggy Meek. If Beanie Barker gets elected class president, your father may not be looking for a new job, but you will be looking for something.
Me? What?
A new boyfriend.
is the classroom where the votes are being counted, Mortimer?
Oh, number 105, down the end of this hall.
Has Mr. Barker said anything to you about the election?
Not a word. Just keeps giving me more dirty looks and more dirty work.
Oh, he certainly has been keeping you busy. You've worked every night this week.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he let you take time off this afternoon to come here to school and find out the election results.
He doesn't know I came here for that reason. He thinks I came here to see the teacher in charge of student placement.
Student placement?
Yeah, to try to hire a part-time office boy to work after school hours and on Saturdays. Mr. Barker's been trying to get one for nearly a week.
Well, what's the matter, dear? Aren't there any boys available?
Oh, it's just that Barker's such a cheapskate, he wants a boy to work just for the experience.
Hmm. Working for Walter Barker is an experience, all right. A ghastly experience.
Here's room 105, dear.
Well, there's Harold. But I don't see anyone else.
Hello, Harold.
Hello, Mr. Meek. Hello, Mrs. Meek.
Are you the only one here, Harold?
Yes, ma'am. The voting's all over, and Dr. Furmish and Jill are in the next room counting the ballots.
Whom do you think will win, Harold?
I don't know, sir, but you're hoping I won't, aren't you?
Well, my heart hopes you will, Harold, but my stomach hopes you won't.
Everyone.
Hello, Beanie.
Election returns in yet?
Mm, Dr. Furmish and Jill are still counting the votes.
I just came from Uncle Walter's office, Mr. Meek, and he said if I saw you around the school to tell you to return to work as quickly as possible.
Yes, I will.
He suggested, however, that if I didn't win the election, you needn't come back today at all.
He said that? I can't believe Mr. Barker would stoop that low.
You've given me an idea, Mortimer.
And in fact, he suggested that you take a permanent vacation. Without pay, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yes. He wanted to know whether you'd found a part-time office boy yet.
Not yet. Office boy, school guy.
Mortimer, I'll be right back.
Huh? Where are you going, dear?
The telephone. I'm going to call a man and ask him if 2 and 2 make 4.
Huh?
I'll only be a few minutes.
Oh, Mother, where are you going?
Where to use the telephone, dear. Your father's in there with Harold Deaney.
Hello, Father.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Harold.
Hello, Peggy.
Hello, Margaret.
I'm not speaking to you, Beanie Barker.
Just wait till I'm class president, and you won't get the chance to speak to me.
That'll be perfectly all right with me.
Oh, my gracious. Here's Dr. Furmish with the election return.
Well, do you have the results, Dr. Furmish?
I shall announce the final vote immediately for the benefit of the press.
The press is ready and waiting.
Hand me that paper, Jill.
Here you are, Dr. Furmish.
Thank you. Now, let me see.
Hurry up, Doctor. I don't know whether I can stand the suspense or not.
The result is as follows. For Harold Harbinger, 124 votes.
124 votes. And how many for Beanie, Doctor?
For Beanie Barker, 124 votes, too.
A tie? Oh, now what are you going to do, Doctor? Both Harold and Beanie can't be class president.
Obviously not. But there is quite a simple solution.
Well, what's that?
In going over the list of voters, I find 2 members of the class who did not cast a ballot.
Well, who are they?
One of them is named Peggy Meek.
Peggy?
Yes. And why, may I ask, did you not cast a ballot, Peggy?
Because I can't. And I won't. Especially now.
But you must vote. Your ballot will break the tie.
But I can't vote. If I vote for Harold, Father will lose his job. And if I vote for Beanie, I'll lose Harold.
But you've got to vote, Peggy. It's your duty.
Jill's right, dear.
Mortimer.
Well, what is it, Amy?
Is Beanie Barker still here?
Oh, there you are, Beanie.
What do you want, Mrs. Meek?
Oh, I don't want anything. But your Uncle Walter is on the telephone and wants to speak to you.
He does? Oh, why did he have to call at a time like this?
You'd better go talk to him, Beanie.
Very well. I'll straighten Uncle Walter out in a minute.
2 and 2 make 4.
What are you talking about, dear?
Now, where were we?
I think that...
Well, Peggy was just about to vote and break the tie between Harold and Beanie.
But I want to.
Yes, dear, you must vote now, and I want you to vote for Harold.
But Mortimer...
Your happiness is all that counts, Peggy.
Oh, Father, you're wonderful. You're the best father in all the whole wide world. But I won't vote for Harold.
But Peggy,
may
you
I
have to...
say one word? Blood is thicker than water, Father. I'm going to vote for Beanie.
What?
Did you hear me, Harold? I'm going to vote for Beanie, even if I do lose you.
Peggy, you won't lose me.
Harold. I won't.
I'll show you. Dr. Furmish, I'm going to break this tie by withdrawing in favor of Beanie Barker.
Harold, I can't let you do that.
I didn't want to be class president anyway, not really.
Oh, Harold, you're the most wonderful man in all the whole wide world.
Harold, my boy. I mean, my man. I don't know how to thank you.
That's okay, Mr. Meek.
If this rather nauseating display of mutual affection can be brought to a close, I will then declare Beanie Barker elected.
Hold it, everyone. You bored her yet, Peggy?
Not yet, why?
Then you don't have to.
No, that's right, Beanie. She doesn't have to. Harold is just withdrawn from the election, and you are
withdrawn. Withdrawn? But he can't do that.
Why not?
Because I'm withdrawing.
You? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I can't be class president. Uncle Walter won't let me.
Wait, but I thought your Uncle Walter wanted you to be class president.
Well, Beanie, dear? He did until someone gave him the idea of making me his part-time office boy. So instead of being class president, I've got to work after school and on Saturdays. And he suggested that I should start to work right now. So I've got to go.
Oh, this is terrible. With both Beanie and Harold withdrawing, we won't have any class president.
Guess we'll just have to hold another election.
There cannot be a second election. It's against the rules.
Listen, we can elect a class president right now.
No, Jill. You still haven't voted for
the what?
Well, with both Harold and Beanie out of the election, if you vote for yourself, you'll be elected by the total of one vote.
I don't want to be class president.
But you've got to be paid at your duty. You were nominated, remember?
And you never did withdraw officially.
Jill's right, Peggy.
I second the motion of Peggy for president.
Ah. Would you like to cast your own vote for yourself, Peggy? There is still time. It's not 5 o'clock.
No, I won't, Dr. Furmish.
Then I will.
Well, Harold, you can't. You've already voted.
No, he did not, Miss Meek. Harold Harbinger was the other student who didn't vote.
Harold?
Well, I wouldn't vote for myself, Peg, and I couldn't vote for Beanie, so I hereby cast my vote for Peggy Meek.
Then Peggy Meek is hereby elected class president.
Hooray! Say something, Madam President. Dr. Furmish, can the president resign? Abdicate?
What?
Quit. Stop being president. Well, please, Dr. Furmish.
Well, yes, I suppose so, but that makes it unanimous. Everybody who ran has now resigned.
But you haven't accepted any resignations yet, have you?
Not yet.
Well?
Peggy, how can you bring yourself to turn down this high office?
Because if I resign in favor of Harold, I can be first lady of the class. Can't I, Harold?
Golly, Peg. We're going steady again.
Some foods look good, some foods taste good, some foods are good for you. But when one food offers you all this, plus a big saving on your budget, well, that's the food to get acquainted with. So, folks, meet All Sweet Margarine. Thanks to the ease of coloring All Sweet, you can quickly tint All Sweet to a lush golden color. Or if you live in one of the many states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, buy yellow All Sweet in solid or quarter pounds. Yes, All Sweet always looks delicious. And All Sweet tastes delicious, too, because it's made only from the finest farm-fresh ingredients. Moreover, Swift & Company fortifies every glorious pound of All Sweet with at least 15,000 units of essential vitamin A. Yes, for real all-around quality, you can't beat All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Agatha.
Yes, dear?
When you went out to make that phone call, it was to Mr. Barker, wasn't it?
Yes, Mortimer. He's the man who had the answer to 2 plus 2.
And he wasn't angry because Beanie wasn't elected president?
He wasn't even aware that Beanie was running for president.
No.
Yes. And when Mr. Barker learned that Beanie was going around threatening you, Mr. Barker decided to fix him good by making Beanie his office boy with no pay.
What a wonderful combination. Beanie and his Uncle Walter. Beanie is certainly a growl off the old Barker, isn't he?
Meet the Meat, starring Horace Lewis and Beryl Vaughn, is a Les Weinrod production. Today's script was written by Sherman Marks. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invite you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.